A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's got a whole thing about pockets this week, and honestly, the story he opens with is the kind of thing that makes your stomach drop just hearing it. He was in Athens for the day with Hannah and Ezra, exhausted, wrangling an infant, the usual travel chaos, and he left his passport on the plane, just in the seat back pocket. Cleaning crew found it, so it became a near miss instead of a disaster, but he said if they hadn't, this would have been the first real pocket failure incident he's had in a while. And it's kicked off a decision. He's finally going to start wearing the Carhartt crossbody bag he picked up in the States.
Good. He should.
He should. But he's got the same hang-up a lot of people have. He feels self-conscious about it. So his question is basically, what are the good zip carry systems for a guy who's prone to losing things and doesn't trust pockets? They give you actual assuredness your stuff is safe, without making you look like a middle-aged American tourist who wandered off a flight. He's asking about crossbody pouches versus waist pouches, admin organizers, and whether there's a system that works when you're exhausted, distracted, and traveling with a baby.
That's a deceptively deep question. It's not really about which bag to buy. It's about what makes a carry system trustworthy, and why pockets fail in predictable ways, and how much social friction you're willing to accept in exchange for not losing your passport in a foreign country.
And the passport on the plane thing is instructive, because that's not a pocket failure in the literal sense. It's an object permanence failure. You put something in an open container, your context shifts, the object ceases to exist in your mental model.
Right. The seat back pocket is the worst of all worlds. It's not attached to your body, it has no closure mechanism, and you have to actively remember to check it before you stand up. Which is exactly the kind of thing that fails when you're deplaning with an infant and your brain is running on fumes.
So let's start with the obvious question. Why not just use pockets?
Because pockets are open containers. That's the whole problem. When you're standing still, gravity keeps things in place. The moment you sit down, bend over, lift a child, or run through an airport, the geometry changes. Your thigh goes horizontal, the pocket opening angles downward, and whatever's in there starts migrating toward the exit. Phone, wallet, passport, they all want out.
I've lost 3 phones to the gap between a car seat and the center console. That's not a pocket, but it's the same physics.
Same physics, exactly. And zippers are the simplest mechanical fix, they close the container. But they introduce 2 kinds of friction. There's the literal friction, the time and motion required to open and close the zipper every time you need something. And there's the social friction, the silhouette of a bag on your body and what it signals to other people.
Which is what Daniel's actually worried about. He's not asking whether zippers work. He knows they work. He's asking whether he can use them without feeling like he's wearing a sign that says, "I'm carrying valuables and I'm not from here."
And that's where the design details matter more than most people realize. The tourist look isn't about the bag itself, it's about volume, color, strap length, and how you wear it. A black 3-liter sling worn high on the chest reads completely differently than a beige 10-liter hip pack worn at the belly. The Carhartt crossbody Daniel already owns is actually a strong choice here. It's rugged, unassuming, and the brand's cultural cachet reads as worker rather than traveler. Nobody looks at a Carhartt bag and thinks tour group.
Which is interesting, because Carhartt didn't design it for travel. It's workwear that got adopted by people who needed something durable and didn't care about looking sleek.
And that's the first principle. If you want to avoid the tourist signal, pick a bag that wasn't designed for tourists. Workwear brands, military surplus, technical outdoor gear. Those read as utility, not tourism.
So let's talk categories. What are the actual options for someone who wants to zip their stuff to their body?
3 broad categories. Crossbody slings. Worn across the chest or back, typically 1 to 5 liters. Waist packs, worn at the waist or hips, sometimes rotated to the front. And admin pouches, small organizers that live inside another bag and don't touch your body at all.
Each with different failure modes.
Each with completely different failure pattern. The admin pouch is the most limited. It organizes your stuff, but it doesn't secure it to you. You can lose the pouch itself. The waste pack is the most secure in terms of keeping things in your line of sight, but is the most stigmatized aesthetically. The crossbody sling is the sweet spot for hands-free carry, but the security depends heavily on how you wear it.
Walk me through the slings first. That's what Daniel already owns.
So the crossbody sling, the category Daniel's Carhartt falls into, is basically a small bag worn diagonally across the torso. The key design features that make one secure, the zipper quality, the buckle mechanism, the strap retention, and the fabric. Let me give you two reference points that are well regarded in this space. The Alpaca Atom Sling, 3 liters, uses a magnetic Fidlock buckle and AquaGuard zippers. The Fidlock is important because it's a one-handed operation. You can open and close it without looking, which matters when you're holding a baby. The AquaGuard zippers are weather-sealed, so if you get caught in rain, your passport isn't sitting in a puddle.
And the magnetic buckle. That's not just convenience, that's a security feature in a weird way. If it's easy to close, you're more likely to actually close it.
Friction is the enemy of consistent use. If the buckle is fiddly, you'll leave it open, and then the zipper is the only thing between your stuff and the ground. The other reference is the Peak Design Everyday Sling, also 3 liters. It uses a more rigid shell and a unique strap retention system that prevents the bag from flipping when you lean forward. If you've ever worn a sling and bent down to pick something up, you know the problem. The bag swings around to your front and whacks you in the chest or dumps its contents if it's unzipped.
Or wax the baby.
Or wax the baby, yes. The Peak Design strap locks the bag in position so it stays where you put it. Different approach than the Alpaca, but solving a real problem.
And the tourist signal on these? Where does that come from?
It's almost entirely about strap length and bag position. Wearing a sling across your back like a backpack reads as casual. You look like a bike messenger. Wearing it on your front like a baby carrier reads as security conscious, and in some contexts, as touristy. The fix is to wear it as a true crossbody, resting at the hip or lower rib, with the strap adjusted so the bag sits behind your elbow, not in front of your chest.
Behind the elbow. That's the line.
That's the line. It keeps the bag accessible but not prominent. You can reach it, but it's not the first thing someone sees when they look at you.
And then there's the waist pack, which is the most stigmatized but potentially the most secure option.
The waist pack, the fanny pack, the bum bag, whatever you want to call it, has been the punchline of travel jokes for decades. But worn correctly, it's arguably the most secure carry method there is. A waist pack worn at the front, not the hip, keeps all your contents in your direct line of sight and under your hand. You can see if it's open. You can feel if someone's messing with it. It doesn't swing when you bend over.
And the stigma is fading, honestly. Streetwear adopted the waist pack years ago. You see them worn crossbody now, slung over one shoulder.
Right, the styling has evolved. But the travel version, the beige nylon thing with 3 zippered compartments and a visible logo, that still reads as tourist. The fix is the same as with slings, matte black, minimal branding, wear it at the front or slightly off-center, not dead center like a kangaroo pouch.
What's a good reference for the waist pack category?
The Tom Bean Sidekick is one of the best designed small waist packs I've seen. It has a dedicated passport pocket, not just a compartment, but a pocket size specifically for a passport, and a key strap loop for tethering small items. Those details matter. A dedicated passport pocket means you're not digging through a jumble of stuff at border control. The key strap means your keys are physically attached to the bag, so even if you drop them, they don't go anywhere.
That's the kind of thing that sounds trivial, until you're fishing your keys out of a storm drain.
Or out of an airplane seat. The Carhartt Legacy Waist Pack is the budget-conscious alternative. 600 denier polyester, padded back panel, less structured but cheaper and less conspicuous in fabric. It doesn't have the dedicated organizational features of the Tom Bean, but it's durable and it doesn't look like travel gear.
600 denier. That's the fabric weight?
Denier is a measure of fiber thickness. 600 denier polyester is what you'd find on a decent tool bag. It's slash resistant, not slash proof, but it's tougher than the lightweight nylon on a lot of travel pouches.
Which brings us to something nobody talks about with these bags, the fabric itself as a security feature.
Most people focus on zippers and buckles, but the fabric is the actual barrier. A razor blade will go through 200 denier nylon like it's not there. 600 denier polyester takes more work. Canvas takes even more. It's not something the product pages advertise, but it's a real difference.
So, we've got slings and waste packs. What about the admin pouch? The bag within a bag?
The admin pouch is an organizational layer, not a security layer. It solves the problem of everything becoming a tangled mess inside your main bag, but it doesn't solve the problem of losing the pouch itself. The Alpaca Tech pouch uses a honeycomb interior with elastic loops and mesh pockets. You can see everything at a glance, and each item has a designated spot. The Tom Bean travel tray is a different approach. It's made from 210 Denier ripstop nylon, folds flat when you're not using it, and opens into a tray that sits on a desk or nightstand.
A tray. So it's not really a pouch, it's a portable surface.
It's a portable surface that becomes a pouch when you pull the drawstring. The idea is that you dump your pocket contents into it at the end of the day, and in the morning, everything is exactly where you left it. For someone with ADHD, that's useful. It eliminates the "where did I put my key" scan that burns through your morning.
But you can lose the tray.
You can absolutely lose the tray. And that's the failure pattern of any admin pouch. It's a separate object that has to be tracked. The solution is to tether it. Tom Beanen includes a key strap loop specifically for this. Clip the pouch to the inside of your sling and it can't go anywhere.
So the ideal system starts looking like a Russian nesting doll. Admin pouch tethered inside a sling. Sling worn behind the elbow.
That's the two-layer approach, and it's what I'd recommend for someone who doesn't trust themselves with loose objects. Layer 1, a 3-liter crossbody sling worn under the arm, containing phone, wallet, passport, keys. The things you need constantly and would be catastrophic to lose. Layer 2, a small tethered admin pouch inside the sling for items you need less frequently. Charging cable, pin, medication, spare mask. The sling is the security perimeter. The pouch is the organization layer. Together, they give you the zipper security without the bulk of a larger bag.
And the infant factor. Daniel mentioned traveling with Ezra. That changes the calculus.
Massively. Traveling with a baby multiplies your cognitive load. You're carrying the baby, the diaper bag, the stroller, possibly a car seat, and your own stuff. Your working memory is completely saturated. You can't rely on remembering to check pockets, because your brain is occupied with keeping a small human alive. The crossbody sling becomes what I'd call the personal bubble. Your phone, wallet, and passport live there and never leave your body. You don't take it off to sit down. You don't set it on the security conveyor separately. It stays on you.
And if you need to set it down, you've already lost.
The rule has to be, the sling doesn't come off. Not in the airport, not on the plane, not in the taxi. If it's uncomfortable to wear sitting down, you adjust the strap. You don't take it off. Because the moment it's not attached to you, it's subject to the same object, permanence failure, as the seat back pocket.
That's the psychology piece. Daniel mentioned ADHD and a history of losing wallets going back to his teens. This isn't just about gear. It's about outsourcing attention to a physical system.
A zippered bag becomes what you might call a memory prosthesis. If it's zipped, the contents are there. The physical act of zipping is a confirmation. You felt it close, you heard the zip, your hand was on it. That's a much stronger memory trace than sliding something into an open pocket. The pocket gives you no feedback. The zipper gives you tactile and auditory feedback.
And if you build the habit, zip it every time, no exceptions, you eventually stop having to think about it at all. The habit does the remembering for you.
That's the goal. The gear enables the habit, but the habit is what actually keeps your stuff safe.
But there's a knock-on effect here that I think is worth naming. When you stop trusting your pockets, you start treating every surface as a potential trap. Restaurant tables, airplane seats, taxi back seats. You scan them before you leave because you've been burned before. That's exhausting.
It's exhausting, and it's not foolproof. The scan only works if you remember to scan, and the whole problem is that your attention is already overloaded. The sling approach is different. It removes surfaces from the equation entirely. Your stuff is either in your hand or in the sling. There's no intermediate state where it's sitting on a table waiting to be forgotten.
So let me ask you the aesthetic question directly. Can someone wear a crossbody sling and actually look good?
Yes. But it requires accepting that the bag is an accessory, not just a utility item, the same way you'd think about a watch or a belt. Black, gray, and dark green fabrics in matte finishes read as urban and technical. Bright colors and large logos read as tourist. The Carhartt bag Daniel already owns is a strong choice because it's rugged and unassuming. It doesn't look like it's trying to be fashionable, which is itself a kind of fashion. It does. And the other piece is just exposure therapy. The only way to stop feeling self-conscious about wearing a crossbody bag is to wear it until it feels normal. The first week, you'll feel like everyone's looking at you. By the third week, you'll feel weird without it.
Daniel said he's starting today, so he's in the first week phase.
Which is the hardest part. But the alternative is leaving your passport on another plane.
Yeah, that's the whole argument in one sentence, really.
The thing is, no, start with the container. The thing about the tourist stigma is that it's not actually about the bag, it's about the behavior. The tourist isn't the person wearing a crossbody sling, it's the person standing in the middle of the sidewalk consulting a folded map, or holding their phone at arm's length with the speaker on, or wearing the bag on their chest with both hands clamped on it like someone's about to snatch it.
The bag is just a prop. The anxiety is what reads.
Right. If you wear the sling like it's part of your outfit and go about your business, nobody clocks it as travel gear. It's just a bag.
So the advice is, wear it behind the elbow, don't clutch it, and act like you've been doing this for years.
Even if you haven't. Especially if you haven't.
Let's talk about what happens when the system fails. Because it will eventually. No system is perfect.
The failure pattern that doesn't get discussed enough in gear reviews is fabric vulnerability. Zippers are a deterrent, not a lock. A determined thief with a razor blade can slash open a nylon bag in about 2 seconds, and you won't feel a thing if you're standing in a crowd.
That's a grim thought.
It's a real one, and it's why material choice matters as a security feature, not just a durability feature. The 600 denier polyester on the Carhartt is tougher to slash than the lightweight nylon on a lot of travel-specific bags. Canvas is even better. It's not going to stop a determined attack, but it buys you time, and most pickpockets are looking for the easiest target.
So the fabric weight is part of the security equation.
It is. And the other part is bag position. A sling worn behind the elbow, under your arm, is harder to access than one worn on your chest. A waist pack worn at the front is in your line of sight. The bag's location on your body is at least as important as what it's made of.
Which creates attention. The most secure position, front and center, is also the most touristy looking. The least touristy position, behind the back, is the least secure.
That's the trade-off. You can't optimize for both simultaneously. You have to decide which one matters more in a given context. In a crowded metro, front and center, walking down a quiet street, behind the elbow is fine.
Context-dependent security posture.
And that's a more sophisticated approach than just picking one bag and wearing it one way forever.
Before we wrap up the gear discussion, is there anything on the horizon that changes this equation? Bags with built-in tracking, that kind of thing.
We're already seeing AirTag pockets becoming a standard feature on a lot of bags. A small hidden compartment where you can slip a tracking device. RFID blocking fabric is increasingly common. The next step, which a few companies are experimenting with, is bags that alert you when they're unzipped or when they move outside a certain range of your phone.
A bag that texts you when you leave it behind.
Basically. It's not widespread yet, but the technology exists. The question is whether people want their bag to be a smart device. There's a simplicity to the dumb bag that's part of the appeal.
A bag that needs firmware updates. What a world.
I know. But for someone with Daniel's specific concerns, ADHD, history of losing things, traveling with an infant, a bag that actively reminds you it exists, might be worth the hassle.
Alright, I think we've covered the gear, the psychology, and the social dimension, but there's a difference between theory and practice.
There is.
And I believe Hilbert has a story about that.
I had a zippered bag in Rome. Guy opened it with a razor blade while I was standing on the metro.
While you were wearing it?
Crossbody. Under my arm, didn't feel a thing, got off at Termini, reached for my wallet, and there was a slit about 4 inches long in the bottom of the bag. Wallet gone. Passport was still there because it was in the inside pocket.
What kind of bag?
Canvas crossbody. Bought it from a street vendor near the Colosseum. Cost me about 12 euro. The canvas was fine. It was the stitching that gave. He cut along the seam.
That's a detail you don't hear in gear reviews. The seam is the weak point, not the fabric.
The seam is always the weak point. Zipper's irrelevant if someone can open the bag from the bottom. I spent the next 3 days with my hand clamped on the replacement bag like I was carrying a live grenade. Looked like the most obvious tourist in Rome. Didn't care. Still had my passport.
So the question isn't which bag. It's whether you're willing to look like a tourist to keep your stuff.
That's exactly the question. And the answer, for me, is yes. Every time. I'd rather look like a tourist than lose my passport again. The passport replacement process in a foreign country is, I was in the embassy for 6 hours.
What year was this?
2002. I was working as a tour guide. Briefly. The Australians I worked with called it a bum bag and gave me endless grief about it. I switched to the crossbody to get them to stop, and that's the one that got slashed. So the moral is, let them mock you. The bum bag would have been safer.
Because it was in front of you.
Right under my chin. Nobody's razoring a bag that's 6 inches from your face.
The fabric vulnerability point is real, though, and it's something the gear pages don't address. A nylon sling can be slashed. The Carhartt Daniel bought 600 denier polyester. That's going to be more resistant than the 12 euro street vendor canvas you had.
The Carhartt's good. The stitching on those is reinforced. Workwear stitching is different from fashion stitching. It's designed to hold up under load. But nothing slash-proof. The real security is keeping the bag where you can see it.
And accepting that looking security-conscious is better than looking cool.
Looking security-conscious is fine. Looking like you just lost your passport is worse. I've done both. I know which one I'd pick.
Did you ever get the wallet back?
No, but the wallet was just cash. I'd moved my cards to the inside pocket that morning. I don't know why. Just got a feeling. So the loss was about 40 euro and a leather wallet I'd had since college. Could have been much worse.
You got a feeling.
I got a feeling. Sometimes you get a feeling.
That's not nothing. The subconscious picks up on things.
The subconscious also picked up on nothing when a guy with a razor blade was standing 6 inches from me on a crowded train. So I wouldn't put too much stock in it.
Where does that leave us? The bag is a deterrent, not a lock. The position matters more than the bag. And you have to be willing to look a little silly.
That's about the size of it.
The misconception I keep coming back to, and I think Daniel's prompt gets at this indirectly, is the idea that zippers make a bag completely secure. They don't. They're a deterrent and a good one, but the real security comes from keeping the bag in front of your body and your hand on it when you're in a crowd, which is exactly what makes you look like a tourist. So you pick your trade-off.
The other misconception is that crossbody bags always look touristy. They don't. The look depends on volume, color, strap length, and how you wear it. A matte black 3-liter sling worn behind the elbow reads as urban, not tourist. The Carhartt Daniel already owns is a strong choice. Wear it today, adjust the strap, and don't overthink it.
The open question I'm left with is whether the goal is to never lose anything, or to lose things gracefully. A zippered bag reduces the frequency of loss, but it doesn't eliminate it. And the emotional cost of losing a whole bag is higher than losing a single wallet. There's a version of this where you spread your valuables across two locations, so no single failure is catastrophic.
That's the two-layer approach taken to its logical conclusion. The sling has the critical items. A secondary pouch in the diaper bag has backups, a photocopy of the passport, a spare credit card, some emergency cash. If the sling gets slashed, you're not stranded, you're just annoyed.
Daniel, wear the Carhartt. It's a good bag. The weird self-conscious feeling goes away faster than you think. And if anyone gives you grief about it, tell them you'd rather look like a tourist than spend 6 hours in an embassy.
This has been My Weird Prompts, thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop, who has apparently been quietly carrying the emotional scars of a Roman pickpocketing for 24 years.
If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps other people find the show. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long ear. Stay curious, keep weird in mind. mine.